This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, I will tell you that when you're in this business and you have the responsibility, you know, of hosting a show for a couple hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is, in this case, 2 hours here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, you know, your job a lot of times is to set the tenor of the show, to set a direction to the tone of it. You know, I always say here on 10 to 12 on Monday and Friday, especially on Monday, and then again on Friday, that the show is about you. It's not about me, it's about you. It's a reaction show on Monday. So that's about you. You call up, you tell me what you thought about the game the previous Sunday or Thursday night or whatever. And then on Friday, a bit of a hodgepodge of that. You call up, but now we're getting towards a game. There's no reaction necessarily. And we're talking about what's going on. We mix in a little bit of other things, Sabres, especially nowadays when, you know, they're winning 10 in a row. But Friday is also Sean McDermott. And I know a lot of you tune in for that. Who's playing, who's not playing, what's going to happen on Sunday, how are they, you know, feeling about injuries, stuff like that. So that's my job today, right? To kind of set the direction, set the tone, set the tenor of the show. And I got to be really, really honest. I kind of don't know how to do that today. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. What I mean is, this show could be super emotional today. It could also be super fun. It's whatever, whichever, however you want to deal with and process what's going to happen a little more than 48 hours from now. When a lot of you start venturing into Highmark Stadium for the last time ever, or watching on TV a game played there for the last time ever, it's not going to be easy for a lot of us to go through the emotions that are going to be happening on Sunday. And again, I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say this, okay? I've been on the radio long enough to go through a lot of ups and a lot of downs and highs and lows and deal with them with you. And we all process this together. And I always appreciate everybody when they say, oh my God, like listening to you when you come on Monday after a loss or after a win, you kind of put me in the right space. And I appreciate that. That's what I try to do. But I've also been around for, unfortunately, people passing, right? Like we talk about somebody's legacy and what they meant. And I remember recently Art Wander, right? When that happened, a radio personality. I remember Ralph Wilson, of course, Kobe Bryant's death, right? Just, and stay with me for a minute here. I kind of feel like, you know, and I always say everybody processes grief differently. But one thing we do is we celebrate life when we talk about that. And I thought a little bit today, like, listen, this stadium is, it's going away. It's not going to be there anymore. And we're all very, very sad in our own way about it. But the cool part is we're celebrating its life today. That's what we're doing. We're celebrating its life. over the next, we've been doing it for the whole season, but now it's here. Now it is here. It is a celebration of life of Highmark Stadium. That's what it is. The life it gave us. The life it gave our community. The life it gave the NFL. It's one of the, folks, I have been to every stadium in this league except for three of them. The only ones I haven't been to, and it was because of the COVID year, we didn't travel, Arizona, San Francisco, and Las Vegas, the new stadium there. I've been to every other venue that's currently in existence in this league. There is something special about this one. It is special. And I'm not just saying this as the Buffalo Bills sideline reporter. I'm not just saying this as a kid who grew up in Cheektowaga and went to games and came back from Syracuse University on a Greyhound bus for games during the 1990s and Super Bowl years. I'm not just saying this as a guy who's experienced all of these kind of iconic great moments inside the stadium as a fan or as a professional. I'm saying it because I've been around this league. I know what these environments are like. I've been on the sidelines. I've been in the press box. I've been in the stands at some of them. It is a special place. The new place is going to be really, really awesome. It's going to be really, really special in its own right. But we're going to take away so much of this that we have today. Talk about today. Apologies, my text was going off there. See how he ruined the moment there. That did not. But we're going to have so much to take with us from this stadium. The memories. Don't take anything physical. Okay, don't do that. We're going to have so much to remember. So many iconic moments and people. And it's so tough to explain or get through them all here on a two-hour radio show. But I want to do that today as much as I can with you. So welcome into a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, and our Buffalo Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the eights. And Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Okay, let me set up the show for you today, and let me take your phone calls as well, 803-0550. I have my own memories. I'll get into them, but I want you to share yours. I did a podcast last night with Matt Bove, Always Game Day in Buffalo. Check it out. Wherever you pod, the Odyssey app, at Sal Sports on YouTube. And it was really, really awesome to go through those with him. We went for over an hour just going back and forth on this, on different things and memories and moments. So check it out. And you can get more from me there, but I'll touch on a few along the way here. But I want to hear from you today at 803-0550. We are going to have Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott about an hour from now for his weekly radio segment. Bills play the Jets, of course, on Sunday. There is a football game on Sunday on the field for 60 minutes, not just the celebration of life of Highmark Stadium. We'll also have Patrick Hammer. If you're going to the game, what's the weather going to be like? The tailgating. We'll have him at 11:30. But I got a special treat for you at 10:30, bottom of the hour. Be listening. If you watched the Bills Highmark Stadium YouTube video, the retrospective, if you watched it, it was amazing. It's phenomenal. Go watch it. If you haven't, go see it. It's 45 minutes long. It's going to make you emotional and cry. And one of the people who was very prominently featured early on, his name is Bill Munson. Bill, I think this is right, at the time he retired a few years ago, was the longest tenured Buffalo Bills employee. And he had been with the team since the schematics of the Dome in Lancaster and this stadium, Highmark Stadium. And they show it on this video. It's incredible. And Bill and I have known each other for years. And I said, hey, would you like to come on WGR with me this morning to talk a little bit about the memories of Highmark Stadium, the building of it, the memories you have? And he said, absolutely. So Bill Munson's going to join me at 10:30 a.m. I can't wait. In the meantime, let's talk to you today. Let's go to Bill in North Tonawanda, speaking of Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR. Go ahead. Good to talk to you again.
Hello, Sal. Huge fan.
Thank you.
I called this morning and got cut off accidentally, which was, but I called back because I got a good one for you. I'll bet you remember it. November 13th, 2005, I was a security guard working the scoreboard end of the field. Lee Evans caught a touchdown pass, was tackled by Eric Warfield. I was run over. I broke my leg and blew out my knee. And I got my 30 seconds or whatever of fame because they wheeled me off on the gator. I got to shake hands with Lossman. Malarkey was there. He shook my hand. The paramedic who was with me, because Bud Carpenter? Who was the?
Bud Carpenter was there many years. Yep.
Yeah, Bud Carpenter was there. He's taking care of me. And as I went off, the paramedic says to me, "Why don't you give the fans a thumbs up?" Well, I threw my arms up in the air. 70,000 people cheered for me. I was, like I said, I got my 15 minutes of fame, and I'm sitting there on the laying on the ground. Wasn't in too good a shape, you know, because broke my ankle. Broke just above the ankle, and my phone starts ringing, and my wife Pam goes. He says, "Answer it. Put it on speaker." Well, all of a sudden, she comes out. "Oh my God, we saw you again. Are you okay?" And it was, you know, it was one of the most memorable things that ever happened in my life. And you know, I got a thing on what's his name, Chris Berman, put it on his fastest 3 minutes the next day, or whenever they did it. And I got that video from somebody.
Awesome.
But the best part of the whole deal, and I'll make this quick, the very next day on that Monday, the 14th, a Buffalo Bills representative came and knocked on my door. They gave me this great big chocolate chip cookie bouquet, and I got a letter that I still have that Ralph Wilson invited me to the game 2 weeks from them with my wife. And we went and saw the Carolina Panthers, or Carolina, and got to sit in the press box right behind Murph, and I don't even remember who was with him. Van Miller had retired, and he was sitting over two seats.
Bill, I got a lot of people on hold here, buddy. I'm sorry. I got to go. I want to get to them too. So try to wrap it up for me.
Okay, wrapping it up. You know, the last thing is I went down to the locker room. I was on crutches. And Lee Evans says, "Anything I can do for you?" I says, "I'd like a game-used football."
Did he give it to you?
He got me a football. He got it. He signed it. Lossman signed it. And I'm a happy man.
You got it, Bill. And thanks a lot for the call, buddy. All right. We're going to move on to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Yeah, listen. Been to many games. Love coming down. This is obviously a Canadian call. Love coming down and love the stadium. I mean, I'm also a big baseball fan, so I will always be in your city. I mean, I love AAA baseball. So, but you know, Sal, my greatest I can't tell you any great memories. Everything's been good. I love the long drive down. Even getting stuck at that damn border sometimes for too long of a time. I mean, it's always worthwhile coming down there, and it's not like it's over because the stadium is right next door. So, but my here's memories that I would like to see happen in this game that we're playing, and I know this is not going to be popular and it's going to get shot down. This is just my point of view. This is the last game there. This Buffalo team all year has not played well. We've stole victories. We've come back and we've won games, and now we're in the playoffs. This is what I would like to see in the last game. And here you go, Sal. I don't want to see us sitting that damn team out. I know Josh is hurt. I know he's beat up a little bit. I don't want to see one play and you're out of the damn game with everybody.
Okay.
I want us to go into this game.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you. If Josh Allen played more than that and he got hurt, you'd be the first person to call and say, "How stupid was that?"
No, I would not, Sal.
Okay. No, well, I would say it.
That's fine. But I want to see, and this goes into the, it also being the last game of the year. If this was a game, you know, that didn't mean anything in the playoffs or stuff like that, I wouldn't say this.
It doesn't.
I want us to be ready.
Yep.
I want us to blow the Jets off.
All right. It doesn't mean anything, Billy. I gotta run, buddy. I gotta run. I totally disagree with you. I think the Bills should absolutely prioritize health in this game. Let's go to Steve, who's up next. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Hey, I was curious as to the situation with the new stadium. I hate to jump ahead, but
it's okay.
with the snow shoveling that's going on in the old stadium, anybody take a look at the seating areas now in the new stadium to see if that's going to be the same situation?
I mean, the new stadium should not have the same issues because it's built to withstand and to melt the snow.
Yeah, well, the seating area isn't so.
Yeah, I don't really know, Steve. Probably above my head. Somebody could probably answer that a little better, maybe. I'm not sure, but you shouldn't have the same. What do you mean by seating areas? Like, yes, that's right. I know in the stands, but you're going to have, you know, most of it covered. A lot of the snow will not fall into the stands. Actually, where it is right now. Let's go to Jerry in Medina. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, first off, big fan. Love what you bring to us listeners about the organization. You do tremendous work, man. When I think about the stadium, I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. Kind of live my life a little bit. I was in high school back during the Super Bowl runs. And at the time, it was just my mother and I lost my dad when I was young. It was just my mom and I. She couldn't afford much, but a couple times a year, I got a chance to go to games. One time, courtesy of a boss of hers that had club seats and was tremendously, great with me and took me to at least a game a year for a few year stretch. And during the same time, I would manage to get together with my uncle and my cousin. Mom would drop me off at the Pembroke rest stop to meet up with them. I'd hook up with them, go to the stadium, have a nice tailgate with them and their friends. Caught some really, really great games during that time. Probably the 51-3 whomping of the Raiders was the best during that time. And it's brought me to where I am today. 49-year-old father. It's become an annual tradition to make it to one game with my two oldest children. And it's just something that myself and my two oldest really look forward to. And I know it's probably going to be difficult, but we're kind of hoping to keep that going into the new stadium. But we'll tackle that when that comes. But that's what gets me thinking.
You got it.
About this game.
Yeah, Jerry. And I agree with you. 51-3 is number one for me. And I've said it. I said it last night on the pod. And I'll say it again here that it is almost impossible to explain to people what 51-3 was like unless you were there. It's almost impossible. You have to remember, the Bills had never been to the Super Bowl. It was their first run at it. They had gone to the AFC Championship game 2 years before and lost at Cincinnati. They had gone to Cleveland the year before that and lost in the divisional round in an epic game. And then that year, they go to the AFC Championship game after beating Miami in the snow 44-34 the week before, Kelly and Marino going at it. They go to the AFC Championship game. You are 60 minutes away from going to your first ever Super Bowl. And in the backdrop of this game was Desert Shield and Desert Storm, the first Iraq War, 1990 into 91. The patriotism off the charts, the security off the charts. And you go into the game against the Raiders, this traditional team that's won Super Bowls. They weren't far removed from their heyday of the 70s and 80s. And yeah, they hadn't been great necessarily, but you know, that mystique. And you get in there, and what's hard to explain, 41-3 at halftime. 41-3 at halftime. And for an hour and a half, essentially, 80,000 people knew the Buffalo Bills were going to the Super Bowl and partied like it. That's what 51-3 was. It wasn't too dissimilar to the perfect game against the Patriots, except the Bills weren't going to the Super Bowl, but you knew the entire second half, you have finally slayed the dragon of the Patriots, and this is now the Bills' division. And you have Josh Allen, and they don't. And people who stayed in that stadium to think about it, to revel in it, the same kind of deal. And in this case, 51-3, 1990 into 91, this is January of 91, 51-3, 35 years ago. And I was there, and I was a senior in high school, 17 years old, about to be 18 years old, with my friends. I remember on the Raiders' side of the field, first row of the upper deck. It was just euphoria. It was a relaxed euphoria, right? It was a party. It was not a nail-biting finish at all. The whole second half was a party. That tops it for me. That is number one on my list. And I don't know if you're not there. It's the same thing, I think, for people who say the comeback game. Like, everybody says they were there. I was not. It's one of the only playoff games during that run I didn't go to, actually, the comeback game. But I'm sure it's the same way. You can't explain it to people, right? That was it for me. John in Dunkirk. Hi, John. You're on WGR.
Sal, again, the 51-3 game, I was doing a handheld for NBC on the Raiders sideline that day. And I can't tell you what a complete emotional breakdown the Raiders were having. But real quick, I've been to every stadium, both old and new, and I still get chills and thrills every time I walk out onto the camera deck before the game to just look at the sheer awesomeness of our field, our current field at Highmark. It still gives me chills, and I just am going to miss it, but I'm going to look forward to, obviously, the new stadium as well. And the funniest moment ever for me was in the comeback game. We lost all camera communication in the first half. We could not speak to the director, or he could speak to us, but we couldn't speak to him. So essentially, our entire first half, we were just shooting as if our cameras were live all game until we got the communications fixed to go forward into the second half. But those are my two fondest memories. And I still get a thrill every time I walk into our stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to process on Sunday. And I've said, John, and I don't know about you, for me, it will hit me at some point. I don't know when it is. Is it going to be the first walk down the tunnel, which is the last walk, last first walk? Is it going to be during the anthem when I'm looking around and seeing the stands and the people? Is it going to be during the legend of the game? And where else would you rather be? Is it going to be at the very end of the game and not knowing how or what to do to walk out? I don't know, but it's going to hit me at some point. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you remember, but I did say hello to you down in Houston this year because I was taking a picture with Todd Brody and Greg Harvey.
I do remember, buddy.
You take care of yourself. Thanks
too.
For doing all you do. It's
yeah,
great.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the memories, as always, when you call. I appreciate that. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are going to take a timeout. And when I come back, we're going to have Bill Munson on. Now, Bill was not only the Bills, but I think he might have been like one of the longest NFL team tenured employees until he retired a few years ago. He goes all the way back to before this stadium and the schematics of it and building it and what went into it. And if you watch the Bills retrospective video, 45 minutes on YouTube, the Farewell to Highmark, Bill is featured very prominently in the early parts of that to talk about it. And I said, man, why don't you come on with me on WGR today? He said, let's do it. So he's coming up next, Bill Munson. After this timeout, we are celebrating the life of Highmark Stadium today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR.
You know, I've been through this a little bit before when I was younger in Philadelphia, where we had the Veteran Stadium over the years, and then we moved to a new stadium. So just, you know, each stadium is a little bit different from the other. And so this is such a storied stadium with so many memories and traditions, and just try and take that in as we go through the game.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott right there. I'll talk more with him today when he joins me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show in about a little over a half hour from now on a Buffalo Football Friday. The Bills do play the Jets on Sunday, of course, and there is seeding still, implications for seedings, wins, losses, around the league. We'll get into all that a little bit later as much as we can, but today is really about the celebration of life of Highmark Stadium and the farewell and your phone calls at 803-0550. And joining me right now on the West Her Hotline, if you watched the Bills' incredible, awesome video on YouTube, it's called Farewell Highmark Stadium, the moments and memories that define the Buffalo Bills' home. This man was featured prominently in the early stages, especially Bill Munson, who at the time, I think with the time you retired a few years ago, were you the longest tenured employee of the Bills at the time?
You're trying to show my age, though. yes, I was, and probably still am, because everybody seems to get fired before they get any time in anymore with the NFL.
All right, so let's just familiarize our listeners with you a little bit. Tell everybody just kind of what your role was over the years, your entry point in with the team, and, you know, the time you spent with the team, and what your titles were, basically.
Well, I had 14 different titles over 44 years.
Wow.
Hired initially, I worked for the general manager, Bob Lustig, reported, though, to Mr. Wilson, as I did over my tenure, and the head coach was Lou Saban, and OJ was at his height. And then I worked through the, I oversaw the tickets and marketing and stadium operations, handled most of the payroll analysis, PR, and that kind of. We had only 20, 25 people. Now there's 200. So amazing. It's a little bit different when I was working in there in 72, 73 than it is now 50-some years later.
There, I mean, there's so many different tentacles to what we could talk about here, and you have so many great stories, and I really invite people to go watch this video I just referenced. But I want to ask you about kind of the building of this stadium, the building of the new stadium, the renovations that happened, all the different timelines along the way, and what it was like being a part of all that. Because I'll tell you, Bill, growing up, all I was ever told in the 1980s was the Bills aren't going to be here very long. Ralph, will, at some point,
well,
Ralph is going to pass.
Give you a history.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. And what was it like?
In April, May of 1971, at the request of Governor Rockefeller, he had the New York State Urban Development Corp commissioned an architectural engineering firm called Finch Heary out of Atlanta to prepare a schematic feasibility report on a new football stadium for Erie County. Now, people didn't realize, but Finch Heary basically was the main sports architect for the U.S. They did the Atlanta Stadium, Riverfront Stadium, the old Schaefer Stadium,
yeah,
and the like. But that actually grew then a year later, May 1st, of 1972, construction started in our stadium, and the substantial completion date was August 8th. First game preseason was the 17th. I remember that from memory because of what I went through to help make that a real. 15 months it was completed. That's incredible. And what's even more incredible was the contractual budget figure by Finch Heary was $20,600,000. And we came in at $19,700,000 under budget for the completion of an 80,000-seat stadium. And what's even more interesting is, and this was never brought up, and it's a historical fact, there was a guy named Ron Lubinsky. Ron Lubinsky was born in Buffalo, moved to Kansas City, and in 1983, he co-founded HOK Sports, which became Populous and is now the controlling architect for the new stadium. And Ron Lubinsky, anybody in sports internationally, he was the godfather of sports venue design. He began his career with a company in Kansas City called Kivett & Myers at the time, and he was a project engineer for Arrowhead. And then he became involved in the later couple months in our stadium in the completion. So there was a bond between, if you look at the Spartan-type shape that our stadium is in Arrowhead, we're basically Arrowhead without the glitz and glamour. Arrowhead was completed in 72 for about $43 million. Ours, obviously, at $19,700,000. So it's incredible how the carryover.
Yeah.
And I feel real good about that. He passed away in 2023. I was a very dear friend of his. And again, Ron Lubinsky was internationally renowned. And if you ask Radisic, Scotty about it. I think he hired Radisic too when he was finished playing with us. But he co-founded in 83, Ron Lubinsky, he co-founded what became Populous when it was HOK. So there's a bond between the old and the new, and it makes me feel real good inside because he, as I said, grew up as a godfather of sports venue design.
All right, so I know people could go back and learn the history about the Dome was going to get built in Lancaster. It didn't happen. There were lawsuits. But let's just say this stadium does not get built in Orchard Park. Are the Buffalo Bills still in Buffalo? Tell us about that.
Well, we had an opportunity, and I was with Mr. Wilson at the time. We had an opportunity to visit Seattle. And Ralph never wanted to leave Buffalo. He wanted to get it done, but he also wanted to get the best deal for the Buffalo Bills. Like any negotiation, it became they're going to leave, they're going to go. Ralph never wanted a dome. Ralph wanted an open-air facility. He always, in the Silver Dome in Detroit, he was obviously there. It's different than the open air. And open air is the weather gets colder. It's an experience that you obviously don't have in the artificial environment. That's what I call the dome. Not that I'm against domes, but in terms of what we have in Buffalo, it is really clearly an open air facility that we need and that we have and that we're going to continue having, which is great. And Ralph would have never left Buffalo. You know, in my just under 45 years with him, never has he wavered but his support for the Buffalo area.
Bill Munson joining us here. He is a former Buffalo Bills employee, VP. He's done a lot of everything with the Buffalo Bills. When you think about all of the games that you've attended, all the games that have happened since 1973 up until now, what comes to mind first and foremost for you?
Well, the first August 1773, obviously, because I was so involved in the construction aspect of the stadium, and I was the one that the general manager at the time, Bob Lustig, said, Munson, I want you to figure out a giveaway that you can come up with for our 80,000 fans, and I will take the credit for calling the Boy Scouts of America, and we had 10 different fire departments that we worked out of to put together the I Was There card and coin for 80,000 people when they came into the stadium. And I understand it was a lot of people didn't get in until halftime because it was a brand-new facility with country roads and all that kind of stuff. But I guess that I have that in my mind because if it didn't work, I probably would have been teaching somewhere. And that helped me keep my job. And it was something that still today, I think, Sal, people still have the I Was There card and coin. Yeah. And the other game, just because I was a competitor and I always wanted to win, was our first playoff game in 89 against Houston, and I recall. We won that 17-10, I believe. And that, because it was our first playoff game in our new stadium, has remained with me. The date and everything has remained in my mind forever. And the other thing that amazes me, you want to talk about cooperation and how we can use the facility for different things, were all the Summerfest 1, 2, 3, and 4 concert venues that we had in the 70s, 74, 5, 6, and 7. And you're talking about the Grateful Dead, Rolling Stones, Kiki Dee and Elton John, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, on and on and on. And we had, in some of those venues, we really didn't announce it, but we had close to 90,000 people for the first Rolling Stones venue.
Amazing.
And that was something, and I was overseeing the operations, and my heart, because I was saying, please, don't have anybody have anything happen in a derogatory sense for these concerts, because I would have had my tail on the ground. It was unbelievable, the change in the drum corps that we had, that over and above, Sal, the football games that we had. But that kind of remains in my mind over the 45 years.
I was there, 88 season, 89. Steve Tasker causes the fumble on the punt to Curtis Duncan. Yeah. Bills recover it. They win the game. I remember that. And then a couple of years later is my number one in that stadium. And I've been saying this to people who, anytime anybody asks, through all these retrospectives, 51-3 is number one for me, Bill, because it was a party for the entire second half. We were up 41-3 at halftime. Come on.
And then again, when the goalposts came down, that was, and I was in charge of the stadium. Then I'm thinking, oh boy, am I going to get fired for this? It's just the memories. They just come back to me, and it's great to see, because I know football's evolved from football into more or less market ball, and I guess the revenue from newness. And I know after I watched the Rose Bowl game, 104-year-old venue, Ohio Stadium, 102 years older, something, and Green Bay's got to be close to 70 years old. But, you know, I understand how things progress, and it moves up. And we had, for example, when the stadium was built, we knew we could improve, and we have. We retrofitted with the restroom towers because we needed more restrooms. And I know people complained about the stainless steel urinals, which have survived 50 years in the men's room. And the fact that we were able to retrofit, we started with 80,000, 580, and we had 34 suites. We grew it to 130 suites. And then with the upper levels each held 12,500 people. Because of the way it was built, we could have reduced those to half that venue. But in terms of the stadium itself, the retrofitting that we were able to do with the dugout suites and everything else was because of the original design, that is, as I call it, the Spartan type of design that we had. And our base was a great absorption base. It was slate, so we didn't have to worry about a lot of water problems that a lot of these other stadiums that were built and did not actually take anything out and had clay instead of slate bases. So it was a very functionally well-built facility that we were able to retrofit over a 45-year, 50-year period.
53 years. I mean, come on. I'm in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago, and they're getting a new one after 26 years, right? I'm like, yeah, come on, right? What's going on here? 53 years. Well, that's amazing.
Way, yeah, it's all market yeah, built now. And the league wants it, and I understand it, much like they're doing with the international games.
Last thing before I let you go, Bill Munson, thank you very much for the historical retrospective here.
No problem.
But we're going to look forward to the new stadium. And you're still a big part of this community. You've been with this organization and just until a few years ago when you retired. And I know you were all part of, you know, thinking about and part of the pre-planning and anything that went into all that's happening now. And what's your feelings on what's happening here and next year opening up this new facility?
Listen, I'm terribly excited. Turner brought me on I had a personal tour of the stadium about a month ago, and we spent a good almost 3 hours in the facility, walked through everything, and it's wonderful to see. And as I told them there, I even though I'm not involved, I still bleed red, white, and blue. Always will, always have. It's the only job I've had, and it gets me emotional. Yeah. It's great.
Love you, buddy. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks, Sal. Okay.
You got it. You got it. Yeah, man. Right there. That's it. That hit you, right? It's Bill Munson, man. He was with the Bills since before this stadium was built until just, what, 5-6 years ago, I think he might have retired. Pretty amazing. Love that. Love the ending there. Didn't mean to make him a little emotional and choked up there. We'll take a timeout here. More of your phone calls. Sean McDermott on the way. Pat Hammer on the way. 803-0550, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Okay, let's get to some phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Luke is in Buffalo. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Sal. First off, just don't want to pump your tires too much. Just want to say that you're the man. This Buffalo fan base is absolutely blessed to have you. Thank you for what you do. But quick story. My best experience at the Ralph at Highmark, maybe low-hanging fruit, but it was when Nyheim Hines returned two kick returns for a touchdown. I don't really get the opportunity to go to too many games, and it was awesome that I could go to this. coming off that DeMar Hamlin incident and the energy in that building, it was just a really incredible moment that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And my brother lives in Florida now, and I'm glad it's a memory that we'll share together. It was just amazing, but... thanks for taking my call, sir. And
yep,
go Bills.
You got it. Thank you for the kind words. Amazing moment in that stadium. Amazing memories. The opening kickoff, people crying, emotional, absolutely incredible. Mark in Parkside. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I want to say a couple things. Yeah, I was at that 51-3 game also, and just the image of the silver and black versus the red, white, and blue. It was just such a, like you said, emotional day. But another game I wanted to talk about was in 1988 when they won the AFC East against the Jets in overtime to 9-6. We bought, back in the day, scalping was illegal. We bought two seats
about an hour before game time, and we walked away from the two dudes, and we took about 20 steps, and we looked at the tickets, and they weren't together. And I was like, hey, man, you sold me seats that aren't together. And the guy was like, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, well, I'm going to tell the cops that you're scalping, which is illegal. And before I knew it, like, there were a bunch of his buddies around, and I'm like, okay, we'll eat these ones, and we'll go get buy other tickets. So we went up in front of the stadium about 30 minutes before game time, got two killer seats, like at the 50-yard line, seven rows up, and we started walking down the aisleway as the usher, which was like older person, was walking us to the seats. We got to the seats. Next thing we know, two guys in yellow jackets show up and say, come with us. I'm like, what? And then as we were walking back up the aisle, guys in blue jackets showed up and said, come with us. And then we know the police, we were in the bottom of the press box in a small room, and a gentleman from the Bills came in and said, you guys are in trouble. These tickets were stolen through the mail. And I was like, oh, wait a second. I bought them from a kid with an Ozzy Osbourne shirt right out front. My father has 20, is a part of an organization that at the time had 26 season tickets per year. I know that they come in the mail in this big packet. Like, I understand. I did not steal them. So eventually they let us go, and they said, try and find a seat. Well, it was a sellout, so we just walked from concourse opening to concourse opening before the usher said, hey, you can't stand here. I'm like, yeah, I know. So we go to the next one. And we ended up at the tunnel again when the game ended, the overtime kick, and my buddy's like, let's go on the field. And I was like, let's not. We're pretty lucky that we were still able to see this game, you know. And we just watched other people go down, take down the goalposts, hung around, watched it go up to the top of the stadium, get thrown over, counted our blessings. But that was an emotional
day. Amazing. I'm sure it was. Amazing memory, emotional day for sure. Kind of a whirlwind day for you there. Let's go to Mike on the road. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call,
yep.
And thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
Spent a lot of time with you and the team there in my ear.
You got it, buddy.
Keep me informed and entertained. Driving up to go to the game, of course, meeting my sister flying in from St. Louis, brother flying in from Birmingham, and niece flying in from Texas. Means a lot to us. I've been lucky enough to go to a couple of the games mentioned. Was at the Nyheim Hines game, and I was at the 51-3 game underneath the largest flag in the end zone. And it's definitely tops of the list, but just wanted to bring up one game that I don't think I've heard anybody mention, which was against the then Phoenix Cardinals. It was just a terrible weather game, but twice Rich Camarillo, the Cardinals punter, punted it up in the air, and it was so windy that the ball just carried right over his head and landed behind him.
Amazing.
He had a net negative yardage for the day because And it was one of those things that the more the Cardinals showed they hated it, the warmer it got for the fans and the Bills.
Yeah.
Leonard Smith and Bruce Smith pumping up the crowd. It was unforgettable.
I love that. You know what? There's some great video of that, by the way. Mike, thanks for sharing it online. Go to YouTube. You can see that game and what he's talking about. Real quick, let's go to Frank in Chicago before a break. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Sal. Appreciate you taking my call.
You got it.
So two things. My dad grew up in Orchard Park, and his older brother was best friends with Dr. Godfrey. Dr. Godfrey was the first physician for the Buffalo Bills when they became a team back in the 60s. And so they would go to games at the Rock Pile and, like, sit at the end of the bench with, like, Jack Kemp and Cookie Gilchrist and all that. But when the stadium got built in Orchard Park, my dad never went to a game. And so I took him to his very first game last year against the Kansas City Chiefs. And we were in the end zone when Josh made that run, Jim Nantz, play of the year, NFL, all that stuff. But right before the ball was snapped, my dad leaned over to me.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It said, man, what a game. And then that happened. And, I mean, I'm getting emotional, but incredible. Thanks for all you do. Yeah. Go Bills.
And, you got it.
Let's get after it this weekend.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Frank. I appreciate that. Sean McDermott joins me for his weekly radio segment on the other side of the 11 a.m. hour, but we still have time for a few of your calls. Keep them rolling in. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio with you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and a Buffalo Football Friday. And, of course, getting connected with you, as always. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sean McDermott and then Pat Hammer. More of your phone calls as well here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.